Last week we looked at destiny. We talked about spiritual pregnancy. We talked about how our destiny is to be birthed, like a pregnancy process, and how by seeing in the spirit we are cooperating with God. It's a very important thing to learn to see in the spirit, see with the eyes of our hearts. Like I encourage Sister Cindy and your sister Emily, right? When you pray, get into the presence of God. God gives you the promise that you will walk one day. So when you pray, you must, in God's presence, close your eyes, you must see yourself walking. There's not something wrong, no? Because as I explained, the brain doesn't know. When you imagine, the brain functions as if it is real. The brain cannot distinguish. That is just the brain. But Jesus himself said, you know, in the Ten Commandments, it says you cannot commit adultery. But Jesus said, when you look at a woman last week, you already commit adultery. Jesus himself acknowledged that the imagination equals the act. You know, so when you see yourself in your eyes, but outside people, they use this principle, New Age and other religions, they use this principle to make money. You know, imagine sports, people use it very effectively. Football, badminton, they all have sports psychologists. They say, close your eyes, see your, before you step into the court, before you play football and all that, you begin to see yourself scoring the goal, you begin to see yourself, and it's very effective. So it's a general, universal principle. Okay? It's how God created us, like I explained. It's a principle like gravity applies to good people, bad people, you can't, right? But we have to know how to harness it correctly. Like last week I said, you must do it in God's presence. You must always be in the context of your relationship with God, and it has to be tied to your purpose and destiny, not for your selfish purpose. No point you imagine yourself very rich, or what? Unless God call you to be an anti-financier, like I say, then you must have that character to hold that calling, and then you begin to see. You know, seeing in the spirit is very, very important. Are you able to see your destiny? That is very important. God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? What do you see? If you always see yourself limited, if you always see yourself in the past, you continue to create the future as shaped by the past. It's very important. I thought I wanted to go further on that, but this evening, shall we look at Psalms chapter 32, verse 8? Now we look at the other side of the coin. Here, interestingly, God gave us a promise of guidance. You know? We want God to guide us, to teach us. But how does God do it? Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Wow. Have you ever seen that verse? We have, right? It's not a new verse to us, but it says here, God will guide us with his eye. God will guide you. Do you need to be guided? Do you need a direction? Yes, all of us do. Day to day, we need direction. Yearly, we need direction. In our life, we need direction. All the time, we need it. But the promise that God gives us is, he will guide us with his eye. Let's explore what does it mean. Let's look at another verse. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Can someone read? Yes, Isaiah 30, 20. Read loudly for everyone.
And though the Lord gives you the brain of adversary and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not move into the corner anymore.
Finish it.
But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears hear the word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left.
Okay. So what does it say? What version is that?
NKJV.
It says, sometimes God gives us bread of adversity. It's a fact of life. As Christians, God can give us bread of adversity, right? And what water or something? What continue on? What does it say? Bread of adversity and
water of affliction.
Water of affliction. Nobody likes that. But see, and you tie that to your eyes. You don't miss the lesson. You don't miss the instruction, because even when there is bread of adversity, God promises your eyes will see your teacher. In the midst of affliction, in the midst of adversity, God promises He has teachers. He will not leave you without teachers. Amen. So it's very important. He said, your eyes will see the teacher. At the right time you learn the lesson, the teacher will be brought forth to you. Famine of the bread cannot be compared with famine of God's word. Bread of adversity, maybe you lack something. When you have famine, you lack bread. You don't have food. That's a famine of food. Famine of food is not as bad as famine of God's word. So it says, even when you have experienced famine, make sure you see your teacher, because God promises a teacher in the midst of adversity and affliction. Amen. But let's look at this in the context of human history. Let's look at it in the context of when God created us. Many times we know this story, but we miss what happened when Adam and Eve fell into sin. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, we read that Adam and Eve heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You and I know what happened, right? Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So what happened here? Adam and Eve hide behind the trees, right? Hello?
Yeah.
Yes. Hide here. Right. What was the verse I read in the first verse? I will guide you with my eye. What Adam and Eve is doing here is, don't see us. Do you see that? Your heritage as a fallen human race, you don't want God to guide you. Hiding is one thing, but why hide? We don't want God to see us. We want something blocks the eyes of God from seeing us. But in Psalms 32 verse 8, just now we say, God said, I will guide you with my eye. But when there is a tree, yes, we always focus on the hiding part, forgetting that actually, when they hide behind the tree, it is a picture of God's eye can no longer guide them. Do you see that? They rejected the eyes of God. We only always think about the hiding, right? They don't want God. But they rejected the eyes of God. And you and I, as part of the fallen human race, has the propensity, the affinity of rejecting the eyes of God. We should never forget, it is just naturally part of our flesh, part of our, you know, how we are wired up in the wrong way to reject the eyes of God. Amen. And when we talk about the eyes is always linked to the heart. In the Bible, there are at least 34 scripture verses that link between eyes and heart. Why do I say so? Let me give you an example. Let's say all of us here, we go out, you go out, all of us have eyes, right? Some of us have four eyes, some have two eyes. I have four eyes. A lot of people have four eyes here also. So we go out there, there's a beggar sitting on the roadside. All of us have eyes. We are seeing the same thing. We come back here, and we ask everyone one same question. All of us see the same thing, right? We ask one person, what do you see? Oh, yo, I see a potential robber. Hey, it's a beggar, right? It's a beggar sitting on the roadside. You ask one sister, they say, oh, I see a beggar, you better close your arcade. You ask another brother, oh, yo, I feel compassion. Do you have any food? Let's take some food for him. You ask another person, what do you see? I see a beggar. Correct? Yes, yeah, I see a beggar outside. You see your connection between your eye and your heart?
Yeah.
Every person seeing the same person, same thing, asking us the same question, but you see differently according to the condition of your heart. I see a robber. I see a, I kesian lah, pity him lah. Don't know how many days didn't eat. Do you have food? Do you have clothes? Another thing, I just see a beggar. Nothing. That's not what I see. Correct or not? Some people say, I see a potential rapist. All kinds of things, right? So, your eyes have very much to do with your heart. We say that about ourselves, it is also a reflection about God. When God sees us, when God guides us, it is a reflection of His heart. Amen. Amen. Do you agree with me? So the eyes and the heart have a relationship and it is linked together. And God Himself asked Samuel, hello, don't judge by outward appearance. Remember that?
Yeah.
When Samuel wants to anoint a king. So what does it mean here? Why does God tell Samuel, hey, don't look because this person is handsome, don't look because he's tall, you want to anoint him as king. You cannot judge by the outward appearance. What God is saying is, hello, this is a spiritual principle. This is how I see. Do you see that? We only know, all of us, we don't judge by our appearances. This is how God sees. What does it mean? When you are in the worst circumstance, God does not see. God does not see that circumstances. But we are affected by it. When you are in a worst circumstance, you cry, out, you feel discouraged, you feel there's no faith, you don't want to go to church. But God, He says, don't judge by our appearance. He doesn't see you through the external appearance. He doesn't see your condition. Wow. Have you ever thought? That's why when Don Moen composed the song, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He makes
a way you cannot see. He makes a way.
He makes a way
you cannot
see. Doesn't depend on your circumstances. We, in our limited understanding of God, in our limited vision, we are troubled by our circumstances. And our circumstances and what we are facing defines how we relate with God. How we relate with life. Wow. But God never sees that. The song tells us, hey, what is all this? God is still working whether you see it or whether you don't. I give you an example, a simple example. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. The priest of Midian, he led the flock to the back of the desert. Hello? Moses, no chance of promotion, no chance of advertisement. Nobody would have known where is Moses. GPS would not be able to locate Moses. You turn on Waze, you turn on Google Map, also cannot locate Moses. Why? He's at the back of the desert. No reception. 100% no reception. You can use whatever telecoms provider you decide. There's no reception. He is at the backside of the desert. Right? What kind of circumstance is that? Nobody would know where is Moses. There's no chance he will get a prophecy. There is no chance he will get any kind of help. But what did I say? God does not see outward appearance. It is the worst natural surrounding to be in. You want help, make sure you are in the midst of. People say, at least you go to church. Church, people can talk to you and all that, right? What if you cannot go to church? Here it tells us, even if you don't go to church, it does not stop God's eye from seeing you. And we must have this deep conviction inside us. Because some people are over-reliant on what is circumstances. So circumstances can be positive, can be negative.
Yeah.
But God doesn't see that. Right where at the back of the desert, the angel of God appeared in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him. The external circumstances does not stop you, but God is attracted to what is inside Moses. The first verse we read just now, God guides us with his eyes. And his eyes are attracted to our eyes of desire. Many people, hello,
don't go away, don't go, be distracted.
Many people can be in a bad place or can be in a good place, but yet do not attract the eyes of God. Important thing is, are you attracting his eyes? Because his eyes is the pair of eyes that will guide us.
Yeah.
And here we are, it's recorded clearly here, God's eye caught he caught Moses. Moses caught God's attention when Moses began to look at the bush. He could not see an angel of the Lord there. He only saw the burning bush. Most of the time, we cannot see that vision. We say we cannot see Jesus, right? Maybe we cannot see angels. But because of the deep desire inside him, many people thought he doesn't have that desire anymore because he failed already, he killed someone. But deep inside him and deep inside every one of you, no matter what circumstance you're in, there is a destiny that has been embedded in your spirit when you are born again. You may not have done anything about it for a long time. You may have gone astray. You may have gone your own way. You may have not considered your destiny for a long time. But it is lying there. It's never dead. Same with Moses. He has been awakened once. He thought he was a savior. He killed someone. And we thought he's not there. But that desire attracted the attention of God, attracted the eyes of God. So desire meets with desire. God's eye is attracted to our desire. And you and I must always pray, God, pursue me. God, pursue my children. God, pursue my spouse. Because our desire does not come from ourselves, it comes from God. When our desire is weak, or when we don't have that desire, say, God, burn that desire in me. Burn in me. And pray for your children. Burn, Lord, hotly pursue my daughter. We pray that. I pray that. God pursue Marianne. God pursue Marisa. God pursue Maribel. In case you know, we don't know who are they. These are the names of my daughters. No, God pursue them. You pray that. Because when that desire is awakened, desire you can't do it. You can't generate. But when you pray differently. Activate that desire. That desire, when that desire is awakened, it will draw the eyes of God. When Moses' desire was awakened, he didn't know there was an angel. He just thought something's different here. In the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, it clearly tells us the angel of the Lord appeared to him. There was an angel there. He could not see it. He only saw the natural. Yes, but it's not burning. You and I sometimes cannot see. But it draw and it pull our heart. If we respond to that pulling, we attract God's eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. The moment you respond to that desire, God's eye look at Moses, look at you, he called you. He began to speak. He said, Moses, Moses. Do you see that? So number one, desire meets desire. God's eye is attracted to our desire. Amen. Number two, I give you another instance. The story of Gideon. Everybody knows Gideon. Do you know Gideon? Gideon was one of the judges. One of the judges that God raised. I'm going to read to you from Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 from verse 11 onwards. Everyone has it? trying to get the word of God. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. Now the angel of the Lord came. Again, the angel came. He sat under the tree which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. What do we have here? Someone who is afraid. Correct. Huh? For example, you know, it is against the law of the land to preach the gospel to some race, for example. And this Gideon hides somewhere,
preach to that person.
Because it is the same like this. He's saying here, Gideon was hiding. He was threshing wheat, hiding, because the Midianites will come and steal whatever wheat that you have. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Son, very funny. You and I must, like I say, God does not judge by your outward appearance. God does not see the external appearance. Here you have one guy who's like a coward. Eh? On the surface, he's like a coward. Yo, no one see, I better do this. Right? People say, "Yo, this person, no favor." Coward, like, why you do this? You go out and preach the gospel. Go out and say it. Then here comes the angel announcing something of truth in the spirit realm. Here is one person hiding, doing something, and the angel said, "God is with you, mighty man of valor." Oh, Gideon cannot take it. Gideon said, "What do you mean?" He argued with the angel. He said, "Oh my Lord, if God is with us, why is this happened to us? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, verses 11 to 16. Look at verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him. Hello, do you see that? Verse 14. Same like Moses. When Moses look at the burning bush, God immediately look at that and he called him. It attracted God. Here, Gideon, sounds like he was whining and complaining. For once, the whining and complaining attracted God. Hello? So does it mean we have to whine and complain? No. So what is it? On the surface, it looks like Gideon is a coward. It looks like Gideon is a whiner and a complainer, right? But look at what he said to the angel. Wow. What he said to the angel spoke volume about the content of his heart. While everybody was hiding, while everybody was scared of the enemy, they may be hiding or they may be compromising. Here is one chap in the whole of Israel pondering something no one has pondered. What was he pondering? He was saying, "Where is the miracles?" He cannot reconcile the reality of his days with the reality of God. When I read the account of the Torah, when I read the account of the Bible tells me this is God. I cannot reconcile. He thinks, cannot reconcile. God say he heals. Why I am not healed? Some people will say, "Never mind, it's not God's will." Some people will say, "Never mind, it's not God's timing." Some people will give excuse, "Never mind, I don't have the faith." But there was one chap in the land of Israel that pondered, if God has delivered us from Egypt, if it is the same Jesus who died on the cross, rose again to rescue me from sin and death, why is this happening in my life? He did not take things at the surface value. "Never mind, have faith. People ask someone prophesy for me, have faith, it will happen." But you have this man pondering, "I cannot just take that prophecy. Why is it not happening?" It was not a complaint. It was not whining. he was being courageous. Number one, you have desire like Moses. Number two, you have Gideon, who had a courage to face the truth. Not many people will do that. You ask the Christians, so they talk to you, ask about people, why, what for, why do you pursue all that? No, what, why you come here, why do extra work? You should have stayed at home. Why all this? Because I understand, all of you, either you have a desire for God in God in your heart, or something inside you kept on asking, like Gideon, where is the miracle? So when he asked that, God was not offended, but God was attracted to him. How many of us question, where is God? It takes people, it takes real people to question. Where is God in the church? Where is the healing? Why is it not happening now? Why is it not? It takes courage to ask that. But it's not a nice thing. People will say, yeah, you're too extreme, like, you know, huh? You be patient, lah. Or there is a time. Some nice pastors will tell you, it's okay. Now God bless us. Now is not the season to do it. Now is the season of blessing. Correct. And now is the time to prosper. Why you bother about all that? But inside you, if there is that burning question, why you attract God's eyes? God's eyes. So do not be afraid to be courageous to face the truth. God does not encourage escapism. Yeah, never mind. Be Christian means we escape the reality of life. No, face it.
Yeah.
Face it and ask God, why is this not happening? You're not being doubtful or unbelief. Okay? It is not being you're not being cynical. You're not being sneaky, you know. No, it won't happen. No, you're asking like Elijah. Where is the miracle of Elijah? Amen. Amen. Ask the Holy Spirit to birth this inside us. The courage to face. Courage to face with what is not happening. And that is a mark of faith. The angels say, hey, you are mighty, you know. When you are courageous to face that, angels say, you are mighty man of valor. Strange. How God sees things are so different from us. Amen? So these questions are birthed from longing. These questions are birthed from a heart that has been pondering. So when suddenly you see Jesus, or you see an angel, it just flow out. You know, he didn't plan, these are the three things I'm going to ask. When I see Jesus, I'm going to ask all these things. No. The moment you saw an angel, it's just burning hot inside him, it just flow out. Jesus, why this thing? And then what happened? He was not even afraid of offending the angel. Amen. So number one, God is attracted to your desire. Number two, God is attracted to our courage. Amen. And let's look at the third thing. I'll give you another story. This is a story of Hagar. Remember Hagar? Hagar. Abraham's born woman. God call it the born woman. Genesis chapter 21 from verse 12 onwards. You know when Sarah has Isaac, like every woman, Sarah said, I don't want to see this woman anymore. Can you remember that? Genesis 21 from verse 12 onwards. I don't want to see this woman in my house anymore. Why? Because this woman also too much. What did she do? She go and laugh and try to make fun of Isaac. Correct, right? Hey, not this Isaac. We have Isaac. So there's this Hagar, and Sarah said, I don't want to see this woman and this child. So Abraham was like, oh dear, what do I do? His heart was very troubled. Because this is also my son, right? Ishmael. So God said, don't worry. Don't feel bad. Whatever your wife tells you to do, do it. Imagine that. How nice, right? So the wife will be very happy, right? Say, don't let it be displeasing to your sight because of the lad or because of your born woman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called Yet I will make a nation of the son of the born woman, because he is your seed. Many people will blame Abraham and Sarah because of Arab today. Correct? Not every day. Why? Abraham didn't do this. No, it wasn't Abraham. Hello? God decided to make Ishmael a nation. He's God. Now I see brand new. God sees beyond human weakness and human failure. Many times we are so troubled by our human weakness. You know, every now and then, every one of us, I don't know whether some of you still have, right? You still dream about your exam, you don't pass your exam, you don't go to school. Do you have that dream? No, never. Never have that. Oh, those who always have dream about a dream, right? I didn't finish the exam. No, you're always haunted by your failure. I didn't study, tomorrow is my exam. No such dream. No one has this kind of dream. Oh, I always have this dream. Last time, I don't know. Look, we are haunted by our failures, by our weaknesses. Hello? Look at God. When he saw Hagar and Ishmael, you and I will want to go and give Hagar a tight slap, right? You stupid born woman. You go, don't go and disturb Sarah and Isaac, right? But we have God saying, I am the one who will bless Ishmael. Yeah. You want to slap Sarah? You want to slap Abraham? It's God. God sees beyond our weaknesses, our failures. Why? At the end of the day, he is a covenant-keeping God. Because God said, I will bless your seed. Yeah. Even though it's a mistake, it was not right, the covenant stays. Ishmael is a seed. If God has given you a promise, you messed up your life, God will still keep that promise. You see that? I cannot understand that. We will want to go and slap that person, but God sees beyond. Hello? Has God given you a promise? You messed it up. I should have done better. I always tell myself that. I mean, in the past, because last time I was a youth leader. Scolded by youth. Didn't have compassion. I do like Eminem, you know, there was Eminem or whatever. You see my face. You know who's we are talking to. And there was once praying with my wife. I wept before God. I felt that I did something wrong. But I released it to God. I wish that God gave me another opportunity. So God sends young people to be Justin, Isaac. Don't worry, I won't scold you. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see or not? Failure and your weakness is not a hindrance to God. But more often than not, we always regret, this thing happened to my children because last time I did that. This thing happened to my husband because last time I did that. Has God given you a promise? And God is a covenant-keeping God. I'm amazed. We will be kicking Hagar, we'll be kicking Ishmael. But Hagar had an encounter with an angel. He brought the son out and said, let you stay here. I don't want to see how you die. Then he went there. He thought that would attract God. It didn't attract God. The child just made one right. Angel appeared. God responds to covenant. You look at Genesis 21, really. All I dramatized is that. Yes. You know, Hagar was crying. The angel didn't come. But the boy just let out one small cry. Angel appeared. So you want to slap Sarah or not? Cannot. Slap Abraham? Cannot. Angel appeared to the founder of Arab. To Ishmael. And God revealed himself. He's the one who sees. And also God is a covenant-keeping God. He sees beyond human weakness and failure. Amen? Amen. Last one. I thought of giving a few more, but last one. So we see God responds to desire. Number two, God responds to courage. Number three, God sees, his eye sees beyond our weakness and failure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. One more New Testament. Maybe you say, hey, all this Old Testament, how does God lead us in the eye, using his eyes in the New Testament? I have a nice story for you. Everybody knows this story. What's the story? Story of our Mr. Foot in the Mouth. What's his name? Peter. Foot in the mouth, right? He always says something faster than everyone else. Got himself into trouble. I will not deny you, O God. I imagine how he must have said it very loudly, really, right? You are the Son of God. Imagine Peter must be a very, could be handsome, rugged. I will not deny you. Let's go up to the heaven and see him. But what happened? He denied, right? Not because some great soldiers said, accused him. Remember that? Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22, verse 60, after three persons say, when Jesus has already been caught, three persons, remember, the young girl came, then a man came, and then another man came. In verse 60, we read, Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. That was the person who declared, I will never deny you. Then three persons come and betray, come and accuse Peter to be one of God, Jesus' disciples. Man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Where's the sound effect? The rooster crowed. The rooster crowed. Cuckoo, cuckoo. I thought there would be a sound effect. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Hello, everybody. Then you miss this, you miss it. Jesus, cuckoo, cuckoo. After betraying three people, Jesus' eyes look at Peter. Many people would be thinking, because we are all style people, right? You know what we'll be thinking? You think Jesus said what? I told you so. Right now, you thought that Jesus would say, I told you so. He will deny three people. Correct or not? Is that what you're thinking? Or Jesus will be the anger. Imagine in a movie, jang, 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 jang. Then Peter, sorry, no. And that's why he went and wept. That's the account in the Bible, right? Am I right? And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. My brothers, my sisters, impossible for Jesus to look at Peter with condemnation. You say, there's no condemnation in Jesus. Impossible. Impossible for Jesus to say, I told you so. Impossible. Why? It's biblical. In the same chapter, Luke chapter 22, you go back to the earlier verses in verse 31 and verse 32. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Wow. When the eyes looked at Peter, it was the eye of love. You didn't fail. You didn't fail. I prayed for you. It was the eye of concern and love. Cuckoo, cuckoo, when Jesus looked, I prayed for you. You will not fail, you did not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus has prophesied, Jesus has seen in the spirit realm. Satan demanded, if you look at another version, Satan demanded for Peter, I want Peter. Jesus prayed for him so that he will not fail. So when the eyes look at Peter, now I see brand new. Wow. When Peter saw Jesus' eyes, you are my dream come true. My brothers, my sisters, Peter saw the eyes of Jesus. That changed him. In Acts And he saw the blind, the beggar at the gate beautiful. He stole the beggar. What did he say? Look at me. A person who has seen Jesus' eyes will have the eyes of Jesus. And he said, look at me. Silver and gold have I not. Wow, you see that? In why does God want to lead us? When God leads us with his eyes, we have his eyes. When you and I have his eyes, you see beggar, you don't see as a robber or a rapist or whatever, right? See, look at me. Because he saw the eyes of Jesus, now he sees. He said, now look at me. When you look at me, you can see the eyes of Jesus. Wow. That's the secret. If you have seen Jesus, Peter saw and he wept bitterly because he saw. And when he and on the day on the way to the synagogue, he said, look at me. In this world of darkness, judgment, condemnation, criticism, backbiting, and all that, you and I must have the eyes of Jesus. There is no hope, there is no encouragement, there is no grace, there is no mercy in this life. People do something wrong, they take something and hit you, right? Not everybody is in a very foul mood, right? Correct or not? My wife and myself, you go to the shopping mall, people everyone just impatient. You line up, right? You're a bit slow that day, you're in a Aeon. Slower. Burst out, shouting, I need you 20 minutes already! Serious, do you not feel it when you're outside? It's a very explosive nature. But if you have the eyes of Jesus, that makes a difference. When people are in that shape, you bring grace. You are seeing through the eyes of grace. You are bringing mercy. You are bringing encouragement. Hallelujah. That's the difference. But how it all started? When his eyes got in. When you see his eyes. Amen. Amen. And what kind of eyes is that? Eyes that shows you the heart of God. Number one, it's attracted to desire. Number two, it's attracted to courage. Number three, it sees beyond your weakness and failure. Hallelujah. Number four, it's eyes of love, not eyes of condemnation. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why it says, now I see brand new. I have only eyes for only you. Eyes for only you. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can sing the song again. My God and King. You alone. He's one that does not condemn us. He's one that will not be affected by our failures or weakness. Which means to say, there is nothing that we should hide from Him. Because Adam and Eve once hid from God, and there is so much possibility that you and I have things in our hearts that we hide from God. When there are things that are hidden from God, it's the same like Adam and Eve. God cannot guide us with His eyes. God cannot, because it's not that He doesn't want. We hide it. He does not force it on us. He does not force it from us. But today, this evening, the message tells us we do not need to be afraid to let our heart be exposed in His presence. We are not coming to one who will punish us, who will condemn us. You see, what Peter experienced that day, he didn't know it was in his heart. And God exposed that in his heart. And God did not condemn him for that. But because of that exposure, because of the light that shone in his heart that day, he began to see differently. He began to have the eyes. He began to have the eyes of God guiding him. My brothers, my sisters, all of us need the eyes of God to guide us. I just want to ask you to just open your heart to God this evening. Is there anything that you think you do not want to hide from God anymore? Is it some failures that is holding you back? Is it some sin? Or is it something that has always been hidden from God? Even though God can see everything, God wants us to open it to Him, open it up to Him. And this evening, He wants to shine His light in every one of us. The more light there is, our eyes become clearer and clearer. Because in the New Testament, it says the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is dark, full of darkness, the whole body is full of darkness. But if the eye is full of light, the whole body is full of light. So how does that happen? We begin to open up ourselves in the presence of God. We begin to pour our hearts. God, this is inside me. God, these things bothers me. God, this is a failure. These are the things that I keep in my heart. These are the things that I have never fully opened up to You. Let's just take this time. Talk to God in your own way. My God, you don't have to sing if you don't want to, but just take this time to talk to God. Thank you. Heart wide to us, to open his arms wide on the cross, and he said, this is my heart, I open my arms wide. What about you, my child? What are you holding back? What about you, my child? What are you holding back? What are you hiding? Why are you still hiding? Why are you still hiding? Let the light of my Holy Spirit this evening bring to light every hidden thing. Let the light of the Holy Spirit begin to shine inside you so that there will be clarity in your eyes, so that you begin to see brand new. If that is your desire, if that is what you want to do, begin to open your heart. Tell Jesus as it is, what is in your heart? What is the thing that you have been struggling? What is the thing that has been you have been hiding from God? Open it wide. Jesus opened his heart wide. He didn't hide anything from us. He did not withhold anything from us. So this evening, come like a child. Come to Jesus like a child. and just open up your heart and tell Jesus in your heart, Lord, I do not want to hide this anymore. Oh, let the light of the Holy Spirit shine in us. Let the light of the Holy Spirit shine in us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Long to be guided by his eyes. Tell him that. You long to be guided by his eyes. He wants to guide us with his eyes. Open your eyes and begin to see him. Open the eyes of your heart. Comes from him. Jesus is the being of light. So receive this ball of light. This ball of light will illuminate your eyes. This ball of light will begin to bring exposure, expose whatever that is hidden in your life. If you want to welcome this ball of light, if you want to receive it, just lift up your hands and receive it from Jesus. Lift up your hands. All of you, every one of you, he's coming to you. Every one of you is coming to every one of you. He's coming to every one of you. In his hand is this ball of light. This ball of light he's releasing to you. If you are ready, just position your heart to receive it. Position your heart. Freely receive this ball of light. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Release the ball of light in the name of Jesus. Receive the ball of light right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. You don't have to strive. Just stay in the flow, begin to receive it. Wherever you are, receive it in Jesus' name right now. Thank you, Lord. Receive it right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just look to God. Look to God. You don't have to fight. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to strive. It's for everyone. You just need a desire. He says, yes, Lord. I want this more of life. You want this light. You want this illumination. Shikara Bariya Nabasho.
Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Receive in Jesus' name.
Yeah.